It is so appropriate that now we come to the time in our service where we remember Christ and we look forward to the day when he will return. This morning, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 11. So turn there with me. Before we read our passage this morning, let me provide a brief context to where we're at in this book. Paul is writing to a church in crisis. The Corinthian believers were deeply divided. They had factions throughout their congregation. And these divisions had infected the celebration of the Lord's table. What was meant to be a meal of worship, which we will do here in a few moments, had become a source of division in their church. They had turned the Lord's Supper into a display of social status rather than a proclamation of the gospel. So Paul takes them back to the very night where Jesus instituted the meal. Our Lord demonstrated his love for the disciples at that moment when he instituted this ordinance. And Paul reminds them that this meal isn't theirs to reshape according to their preferences, but it belongs to Christ. It must be celebrated according to his intentions. So let's look at the words in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, starting in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." This morning, we're going to look at four aspects of the Lord's table that we must remember. And the first one is that Christ instituted this in the night he was betrayed. Paul starts with, "I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you." This isn't Paul's invitation or church tradition. The risen Christ revealed to Paul what this meal means and how we should observe it. The same Jesus who promises, "I am coming soon," is the one who commanded, "Do this in remembrance of me." Think about that. The victorious Lord who reigns in heaven cares deeply about how we approach this table. It matters to him because this meal tells his story. In the night in which he was betrayed, Paul takes us back to the specific historical moment. The eternal Son of God was about to be handed over to death. And in that moment, his mind was on us, on how we keep our hearts, on how we could keep our hearts in a thankful disposition towards him. Jesus knows that our hearts are prone to wander, and instead of chiding us for it, he gives us an ordinance as a church to protect us from ourselves. The second observation is we must remember Christ's finished work at the cross. Jesus commands, "Do this in remembrance of me." This remembrance is far more than mental recall. The Greek word suggests making something from the past powerfully present again. When we take communion, we're transported back to the foot of the cross. We see again the price of our redemption. The remembrance shapes how we live. When we remember Christ's sacrifice regularly, it calibrates our hearts. Our problems shrink in light of the cross. Our sin loses its appeal at the foot of the cross. Our love for Christ grows as we remember his love demonstrated for us on that day. This time should anchor our souls. The bread and cup are tangible reminders that Christ's work is finished. You don't have to wonder if you've done enough. Christ did it all. The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Covenant language is seen throughout the scriptures. And here Jesus establishes the final unbreakable covenant between God and his people. When you drink this cup, you're participating in that covenant reality. The covenant is unconditional for those in Christ. God doesn't say, "I'll be faithful if you are." He says, "This is my blood of the covenant." It depends on Christ's faithfulness, not ours. The covenant was sealed with his blood. Your participation in this meal is a reminder that you belong to God. The corporate nature of this covenant matters as well. We don't take communion in isolation. In fact, we're going to take it together this morning. We share the piece of cracker and the cup of juice because we're one body in Christ. The meal that remembers Christ's death also celebrates the family that we were saved into. Look around. Every single person in this room that puts their faith in Christ was purchased by the same blood. And so we proclaim it until he comes. Verse 26 reveals our role at this table. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's Supper is a public declaration. Every time we share this meal, we preach the gospel. The simple acts of eating a cracker and drinking juice declares to everyone watching that we stake our eternal destiny on the death of Christ. This proclamation speaks both inside and outside of the church. To one another, we testify that we share the same Savior and the same hope. We strengthen each other's faith by participation. When we see each other taking the elements, we're reminded that we're not alone in trusting Christ. We're in a room full of people who love him as much as we do. And to the watching world, both those that are here today and those that observe our lives, we declare that Christianity centers at the cross. Our faith isn't a moral crutch that we need to help us improve our mental health. It's about Jesus Christ, the Savior, who went to the cross and died for every single person in all of humanity that would put their trust and faith in him. Every time we take communion, we announce that we have no hope apart from Christ's sacrifice. Those three words, until he comes, those are center to our service this morning, and they transform everything about this meal. We're not just remembering a past event, we're anticipating a future reality. Every week we take communion, we proclaim Christ's return. The Lord's Supper exists in a tension between memory and hope, and between already saved and salvation yet to be accomplished, where Christ returns. This forward look fills the meal with hope. Yes, we remember Christ's death on the cross, but we know resurrection and return are coming. The bread that reminds us Christ's body is broken also reminds us that he now has a glorified body. The cup that speaks of shed blood also speaks of the marriage supper of the Lamb. The last point is that there's weight to this table. 11:27 says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. To take this in an unworthy manner means to participate without understanding or believing what this meal represents. It means trading Christ's death as common or insignificant. It means proclaiming his death while denying him with your life. As we prepare to receive the elements this morning, let this meal accomplish its purposes in your heart. Let it proclaim the gospel to you. Christian, you are more sinful than you can ever imagine, and you've received more mercy than you can ever comprehend. That broken bread proves this. Let the familiar elements preach grace to your heart. Let it strengthen your faith, and let it fill you with hope for Christ's return. However, if you haven't put your trust in Christ for salvation, this time isn't for you. Please let the elements pass by. This is for those who have put their faith and trust in Christ. I know it may feel awkward, but taking them is spiritually dangerous. You would be proclaiming something you don't believe, claiming something that is not you have not received. And Paul says you would be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. We're so grateful you're here, and we'd love to talk to you more about the gospel, about the Lord who saved us. But this isn't the time for you to take the elements, so please let them pass by. Men, come serve us, and in a few minutes I'll come back here and we'll take the elements together.